Hey, this is Cleveland Brown, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast. I guess your TV must be broken. Haha, just kidding. Actually, I'm not kidding. You're bored.
Hey guys, Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Happy Monday! Made it through another weekend, baby. New episode right now coming at you with now three-time ALN guest. Four-time. This is fourth time. And just one of those staple guests that just always brings it, always fun. Become a really good buddy of mine now. And you know him from Family Matters. You know him from Psych. You know him from, so many TV shows. His IMDb is one of those ones where it's just like, oh, you just constantly work. You're always on TV. But his new show, which is why he's here, airs Monday nights on CBS at 9:30 with Bobby Moynihan and John Larroquette, called Me, Myself, and I. I'm talking about the one and only Jaleel White. Back, baby. Such a fun episode. Not going to waste any time. Let's get right into it. So follow Jaleel on all social media at Jaleel White. I'm at Adam Ray Comedy, at Funny Brad, at ALN Podcast, aboutlastnightpodcast.com for merch and past and present episodes. AdamRayComedy.com for tour dates. Speaking of which, I'm in Florida on Wednesday with Adam Devine at Florida Atlantic University. 8 p.m. show in Boca Raton, Florida. Florida Atlantic University, October 4th. And then, of course, October 9th, University of Central Florida with Adam Devine. October 10th, Adam Ray and Buddies returns to the Comedy Store main room at 8:30. Going to be a stacked lineup. We'll be announcing that in the next few days, but you know how we do. It's going to be stacked. Comedy Store, 8:30, October 10th, Adam Ray and Buddies. I think that's it, right? Fuck yeah, Brad's still on his honeymoon, so don't have to worry about his tour dates. All my tour dates at AdamRayTV.com, Tempe, Vegas, New York, all coming up. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes, comment and rate on the iTunes page. Email us at aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com with all your ALN moments, highlights, what you love, where you got into it. We're going to read those on the air when the new site launches and give away free merch. Now that we've got the merch, tour dates, and Twitter handles out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with our buddy, the one and only Jaleel White.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
You were saying, too, that you, like, love... I mean, we were just griping, I guess, about, you know, L.A. gripes, but you've been here for how long? I mean...
My whole life.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, is there ever a point where you do... Something does just get to you that's L.A.? Like, you know, there's people that'll come here for, like, 2 weeks, and they go, I couldn't handle the traffic, or, like, Hollywood's bullshit. And you're like, dude, you went on one audition for a fucking KFC commercial, and you were...
I like how you went into your Cartman voice as you started doing that.
Too much traffic. Hi. Seriously, guys. Too much traffic. And Jews.
Where'd that come from? Oh, God.
That could be an episode. But you know what I'm saying? Like, does it ever, or do you just love it so hard? Because I think most people from cool cities do have so much pride about it. And then also, like, from what it's given you, like, it's a good life, right? Maybe if it hadn't gone this way, you'd be like, fuck this place.
I love your
why audience. I guess what I'm asking is, like, what about LA do you still just, like, love?
I mean, like I said, like, when I've told you this, you know, off camera,
yeah,
so many times before, when I had my daughter, it was just like all these bells just went off in my head. And even as I look at the country right now and all the crap that I'm seeing, you know, with these protests and stuff like this and hurricanes and mm-hmm. you know, I'm just like, dude, we got it so good here in LA.
Yeah.
I mean, from the weather to the natural disasters to
yeah,
the women
yeah.
to the
it's still pretty good.
The restaurants.
Yeah, dude.
We have so many football teams that we're like, we don't even want to go.
We look Chargers up, can't fill a 20,000 seat stadium because we're like, oh, another pro football team.
The owners of the Chargers invited me to the first game, and I'm like, okay, I'll go.
God.
Wow, dude.
Yeah, it's pretty great. Like, here's how I know that we live in a pretty great country is that we have a show that's on air called Tiny House Nation.
Okay.
Like, and you have these people on there that are like, you know, we just want to minimalize. We just have a house that's a little smaller. Meanwhile, there's people in other countries going, that's a fucking house. Like, that's, what do you mean, minimalize? Get like, and that, and me being a dwarf, I'm like, that's a fucking mansion. Yeah, that's a, like, I can spread out, make that sumbitch into a duplex. But like we have a show where it's like, yeah, just for fun, we're just going to make our house smaller, you know, because that's cute.
Yeah, I'm
like, it's still good. Even when it's bad, it's still good.
Well, I'm not going to discuss the size.
Yeah, you're setting them up, dude.
We're probably coming from two different perspectives.
He's about to be on a hit network show. He can't have any fucking dwarf drama.
Yeah, I'm not trying to, you know, alienate the little
Jaleel
people.
White starts controversy with entire dwarf community. They protest outside of the set of Me, Myself, and I with 3x5 cards.
Bada boom. Don't you have no buttons in your pants?
But I'm bum jeans.
Yeah, but I'm bum.
Flashback to but I'm bum jeans. But yeah, there's it's all about perspective. And now, like, some people, sometimes you get it so good that when it's just slightly not good, you freak out.
That's exactly what's going on even right now, man. I'm like, I'm not going to let any of this nonsense distract what's going on in my life, and not to be selfish, but I mean, in other people's lives that I see going on around me. I meant that. I mean, we got two football teams. I'm sitting here at the Chargers game making fun of the Rams for not filling their stadium with the owners. And it's like, and I might go over to the Rams and do the same thing back in the field. Those guys
like that. Yeah, those aren't your teams, right? I mean, like, you got
no. Listen, in L.A., you make friends. Yeah. And one of the Chargers' grandsons, Dean Spanos' grandson, is a good friend of mine because he's a Bruin. I found out
that
Phil was a Bruin.
That's tight blood, isn't it? It's like S for SC.
Yeah,
like,
no,
when you meet somebody, you're just like immediately.
And I just love the way Phil, his name is Phil Rule, I love the way Phil came at me, especially as young as he was, because he was still playing on our football team at UCLA.
Oh, shit.
And he's like, yeah, no, man, I'm going to invite you to a Charger game sometime. And I'm like, who is this 18-year-old inviting me to a Charger game? And he's like, yeah, no, I'm like, you know, my family, they own the team, so you can, you know, we'll sit together. I'm like,
my family owns
but
the team.
But in L.A., only in L.A., right? Yeah. We go, his guy's full of shit.
Yeah, dude.
This guy just said his family owns the Chargers.
It's like, okay, we get it. You have your dad runs the Wetzel's Pretzels inside the stadium.
Dude, I got drunk and told a girl I owned Pinkberry once. So, like, we all had stake in some company we didn't.
Right, right. Yeah. And then, like, you know, you get to know the guy a little bit better. It's like, no, his family really does own it.
Yeah. Yeah, how about those seats?
Because he just left practice in a helicopter. Right. I don't know how that happened.
Like, but you actually, like, that's actually how you become better friends in L.A. So it's like you kind of, like, shit on the guy's reputation for, like, a month. And then it's like, oh, no, you really do own the team? Great. Dude, you're my best friend.
Yeah.
Right. because then he knows that you weren't just sucking up to him.
No, I don't do that. And
you were actually giving him shit. Like, I feel like that's the best way to make friends in this town is where you don't know who someone is or what they've done, and you just crack on them like they're a normal person.
In a nutshell,
they get happy about that.
In a nutshell, the best way to explain LA to people who are thinking about packing up their shit and coming out here, all right? All right, get ready for this, all right?
Hell yeah. We got a lot of potential movers.
All right, everybody just lean in a little closer. Are you ready? I'm giving you the number one tip for how to survive in LA.
Dropping knowledge.
If you don't make friends easily, if you don't work well with others, if you didn't get that box checked by your teacher when you were a kid, stay the fuck out of this town.
What? Yeah.
Got it? It's that simple.
It really is, dude.
If you just don't make friends easily, this place is going to decimate you.
Or at least know how to put yourself in a position to... I don't know, like be, I mean, you have to be, no,
like, I consider you a friend.
Hell yeah.
At this point.
Yeah.
Like, this is not even in podcast interview or whatever. It's like,
we're hanging.
Adam called me over, and instead of just, you know, playing PlayStation, we're going to talk on mics.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, by the way, I would love to get a PlayStation or a game or two in.
Right. But I'm like, you know, a lot of people, as it turns out, after the first time that we met.
Yeah.
That I know.
Yeah.
And then that's continued to build. I mean, look at Tiffany. Look at all these different people that we have in between us. And it's like, that is what creates the greater bond here in this city.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I see these people that come in here with their attitude on their freaking shoulders, and their bags are this big because they got nothing on, you know, to bring to the table. And I just laugh. Yeah. I laugh. Now, I'm like, that attitude ain't going to get you far, baby.
Now, when you say not bringing anything to the table, but like, can you still like, you know, be social enough? Like, because you, I feel like you've always been this charismatic and smooth and personable, right? Or did the business.
Oh, man, can I get that as a drop, man? Yeah. I'm going to put that on my website so as soon as people log on, you know what I'm saying?
But I'm saying, like, were you, some people
you got a great speaking voice. Has anybody ever told you?
Yeah, penmanship. A great penmanship for a black guy. No, is there, though, were you always, did the business make you more outgoing and personable, or did your folks instill this, like, yo, man, fucking treat people like you've already known them?
The business has taken me on the full roller coaster. I was always outgoing and personable. When I was a kid, my mom said that she would shop in department stores, and, you know, invariably, you kind of, back then at least, you maybe even lose sight of your child for a while. You just stay in this area.
Well, I would always hide in those little racks.
Oh, I would hide in the middle. I would hide in the middle, right?
No, and the mom's like going on, just like looking for, like, all right, that's not my kid's shoes. That's not my kid's shoes.
You would hide under the things where they try your shoes on, right?
Yeah, exactly. I was there hanging out. Duplex.
Would you really, though? How creative would you get?
No, I mean, like, I would hide. Yeah, of course. Yeah. It was fun.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Isn't it so crazy, though? Because, like, nowadays, when I see certain parents, and I'm sure you've maybe experienced it with your daughter, like, for a brief moment, if you don't know where they are, it's fucking I've seen it. It's like stores where a parent's like, Darren, and that mom looks like she's gonna fucking lose it, and the kid's like, ha ha ha, bitch.
Being a parent, I realize our kids are born perfect. The worst thing to happen to them are us.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Getting in their way.
I'm telling you, dog, all these bells went off in my head the second I had a daughter, and it's just all this stuff started making more sense, and it's just like, I see horrible parents everywhere now.
Is that how you learn to be a better parent? You just watch other parents?
I mean, I think you're going to obviously, your first point of reference is going to be what your own parents did.
Yeah.
And then your second point of reference is going to be
Dr. Phil.
What you need to do is to drop your kid off in a Target, give him a water bottle and some M&Ms.
And say, good luck.
Good luck.
The world is not an easy place, okay? If you can't survive in a Target as a 9-year-old in the candle section, you're fucked. We'll be right back. Yeah, all right. So your parents, D. Phil.
Nah, man. Oh, y'all some fools, man.
But you come in with your own set of, like.
Yeah, you come in with your own set of ideas of what parenting should be, and then just technology and evolution makes you have to start to adjust your means, whatever. Just, you know, just life will make you adjust.
How is it having. Oh, go ahead.
No, but I was saying when my mom said about me being personable, she would come back and there was always like a crowd of adults around me. Like I was having a conversation with like,
oh my God,
like, with like several adults. So like I actually probably could have been like, you know, I could have been Arsenio before Arsenio if my mom had just known.
you were holding
like,
court.
Yeah, you know, that I was doing it like that. So
at what age?
Oh, she said I could be like 5, 6.
No.
I was having full blown conversation.
What kid is keeping the attention of an adult at 5? You know what I'm saying? Like, they're leaning into your stories. You know what I'm saying? Usually adults are backing away, like, no, it's cool. Their dogs are fuzzy, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, and now I don't even know that that's something that could happen nowadays because now the other adults would be like, yeah, that's great that you're giving a speech, kid, but I've got Angry Birds, so I'm good.
I remember I killed in the interview portion of an academic decathlon when I was in the 6th grade, and I'd already had a ton of experience acting.
Yeah.
And so they put us in front of a panel of these just stodgy, you know, teachers and whatever. And they interviewed all the kids for the different teams. And you know, based on your interview, you got a ribbon. And so I could tell, like, quickly that these adults wanted me to say, like, highly intellectual, sophisticated shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they were like, well, where do you want to go to college? I was like, I want to go to Stanford, and I would like to major in English. I was like, a black kid from Pasadena just said that in his where's the little ribbon? And like, I literally said that. I remember even what I said, and it was like, hey, you know, just like a kid, like when he has you on the hook and they're milking you, I'm like, oh, you want me to say shit like that? Just like, oh, yeah, and I want to be a lawyer, and I want to help save people, and...
I want to be in a...
How far you want me to take this?
I
want to
be a
fan also.
Baby seal lawyer. Just, I'm going to be a lawyer that represents baby seals.
Holy shit.
So some kids just got to have a knack for feeling you out.
Yeah.
My daughter's even starting with it right now.
Wow.
Like her sense of humor officially kicked in this year.
That's so dope,
she's got
right?
jokes. She told me last night at the dinner table, she told me, Daddy, you have a 4-pack. Those other two, they don't count.
For your stomach or for the beer in the fridge?
There's no beer in my fridge. You're talking about my physique, playboy.
Just want to make sure.
Oh my god,
the other two don't count.
Oh yeah.
Dude, that to me seems like the bet. Like I'm just like, when and if I have a kid, I'm just gonna be waiting around for them to get a sense of humor. Because then it's like,
you're not gonna have to wait, bro. They're gonna introduce themselves to you.
Oh shit, dude.
The first thing that my daughter did, it was actually last year where I realized her sense of humor was getting sharp, was sometimes when I talk to her, I gesture. And mm-hmm. we don't see ourselves as parents at all. And, you know, and I'm like, look, Samaya, you got to, you know, and I was telling her something, and I was doing this gesture with my hand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she just starts in the middle of me talking going,
just repeating it.
And just repeating this hand gesture. Like, and this is like a step-by-step hand gesture for the people at home who envision what I'm doing with my hand on this table.
Like
and
one in front of the other.
Yeah, one in front of the other. This,
you got to do this, right?
Exactly, right? And I don't realize this is like a physical, a bodily crutch that I just go to when I'm trying to make my point with her.
That's her way of just pulling the rug out from under you, being like, yo, I got it in the first sentence. Yeah. Now you're going on too long.
Yeah.
And so she's throwing it in your face.
Oh, I started realizing quickly that you got to speak to kids in sound bites. Like, any more than two sentences, and they're like, dude, I'm over it.
They're out.
I'm over it.
They're thinking about, dude, there's too much for them to discover.
Yeah.
And they're like, why am I going to listen to you when there's a pigeon outside pooping on a tree that another pigeon is sleeping on?
And you can come I can put that on a Snapchat filter with two more pigeons pooping on that pigeon. Yeah. It's going to be amazing.
Make myself look like a dog.
Yeah.
And adults are stubborn. I mean, even her mom's always calling and stuff and whatever. And I'm just like, I'll keep trying to tell you, all your daughter likes to do is text. I know we don't get along that well, but you know, I'm still good at something.
Yeah.
All your daughter likes to do is text. You might want to hit her up in the morning before school.
Yeah. Quick, easy, just mom, I don't got time.
She don't get it.
Shit. Oh man. Now your daughter has already had amazing experiences because of the world that you have access to. Like I saw on your Instagram that she was hanging out with Clayton Kershaw. Now is she funny with the athletes, or is she starstruck, or like,
my daughter,
how is she?
The least starstruck child you will ever run into.
Yeah.
And that makes you want to take her on more of those things, probably, right?
Yeah, you're like, she's not starstruck by people at all. Mm-hmm. She can get groupie-ish about things, and I got to calm her down.
Yeah.
You know?
The Wiggles.
Yeah. I took her to the creator of Full House's Mansion. And,
okay. Jeff Franklin?
Yeah. I had to let her bring a play date. And like literally we're not, you know, 50 feet into the backyard and she and her best friend are just using every like 4-syllable word they know. It's like, this is fabulous. This is extravagant. This is extraordinary. And they're like in that like, they're like in that like that gold digger crouch, you know. They're like, oh my god, where the head is leaning to the sides, you know, just look at the size of this plate.
Dad, we should get that,
right?
Yeah, we should.
And I let her go on and on as we're approaching Jeff. We're getting closer to Jeff. I'm like, they're gonna chill. And finally I just turn around, I'm like, okay, knock it off. We're in somebody's house. And when you go into somebody's house, all houses are different sizes. Act like you got some sense. Okay. All right, cool. And I say that to her, and immediately she just kind of like, okay, cool. Then she turns into super cool kid. You know, now it's her friend who just won't stop with the groupies. Oh, yeah. It's like, Samaya, those are Disney stars over there. Those are Disney stars.
This is outrageous.
It's like, yo, you heard it, man, dog. You'll get us kicked out.
Yeah. She got us kicked out. That's a bowl of Wheat Thins that Dave Coulier ate from. Yeah.
So,
when she meets an athlete, she's cool.
Oh, she and Yasiel Puig were like racing Hot Wheels at some kiosk that they had at the Dodger charity event.
I'm sorry.
And Yasiel's arguing with all the kids too, and all of them are like, "We're fed up with this guy. Fed up with this guy."
Does he speak English?
To kids.
The kids. Kids understand them.
I mean, yeah. They were communicating.
They got the same vocabulary, clearly. Probably. Oh, man. About.
That's dope.
I wish I had filmed more of it.
Your friend.
Yeah.
How is she? So me, myself, and I.
Yes.
New show.
Yes.
Which, by the way.
Show.
Dude, come on, man.
Yeah, Bobby Moynihan.
Back on primetime.
Thank you.
CBS, Monday nights. Mm-hmm. Is she, first of all, I want to know for you how, and we talked about this a little bit last week or a couple days ago, but just it was really, I guess I want to say mind-boggling, but just like refreshing, but also like interesting to me how chill you were about, you were allowing yourself to get excited about it, but you're just like, yo man, like I've gotten to do so much that this is like a different era as far as like all the social media, like you're leaving this to go live tweet and just there's so much extra stuff to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Promo wise than last time you were on a primetime show, right?
Mm-hmm.
And is that more fun or more stressful or just more at this point? I think you said you're such a yes ander with like, yo, whatever Bobby's doing, I'm down to help the cause in any case.
I mean,
does it ever feel like too much? Or?
I mean, first of all, I think a lot of people have a very YouTube idea of how you get on television,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what you are allowed to do on television. You know, I was selected this year to play for what I think is a winning team in Me, Myself, and I. We got a kick-ass producer in Aaron Kaplan.
Yeah.
He's got like 7 shows on the air. It's ridiculous. He's one of the top 3 guys in the game.
Yeah.
Bobby Moynihan's in it.
Bobby
SNL.
Moynihan's in it.
John Larroquette.
John Larroquette is fantastic.
John Larroquette
is fantastic.
I remember him from the John Larroquette show.
I remember him from what he calls NC. He calls it NC.
Oh, Night Court. Yeah,
you remember back when we used to do NC? Although John will remind you just how much hardware he has. Dude, funniest John Larroquette story.
Okay.
I wonder if Bobby would kill you. But I guess you know, when you do these promos, you know, these people get these clever ideas of what you should do for a photo shoot or
yep.
whatever. And so mm-hmm. he was doing a promo shoot with Bobby and Jack, the kid. And I guess somebody thought it would be a good idea to give John Larroquette a giant oversized number 2 pencil as a prop.
Okay.
Like, John, just we're going to take pictures of the 3 of you and maybe you guys could do funny things with this pencil.
Does that have any correlation to his character?
No correlation at all. It was. Oh, it might as well have been a big ass apple. It might as well have been a turtle.
Pink dildo. Yeah,
right.
A turtle with a dildo.
Right.
Yeah.
So like his character isn't a writer or anything
right?
like that.
So John holds the pencil for like all of 10 seconds, looks mm-hmm. at it, and then hands it back to the woman and says, "I have 5 Emmys and 2 Tonys. I'm good."
Dude, that's the right answer. That's the right answer.
So,
there's no real comeback for that.
I see your giant pencil and I raise you a lot of awards.
Yeah.
So, Hollywood being Hollywood, the pencil is immediately mandated to Jack Dylan Grazer, mm-hmm. whose representation was not there to represent him at the time.
Oh, no. So, he went with the big pencil.
So, that's where it's like, for me, those stories are fun.
Yeah.
Because
mm-hmm.
I don't see anything nasty about that whole exchange at all. I laugh because I'm like, I've been the kid and now I'm the adult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I get it.
Yeah.
And you'll be John Larroquette.
And I'm like, good luck, Jack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good luck, Jack.
Now,
Jack's going to be fine.
Now, is that the kid?
Yeah.
You were telling me he's just phenomenal. Yeah.
Yeah. No, all the kids are great.
Yeah.
All the kids are really, really good.
How many kids?
He was in It. Jack was in It.
Oh, dope.
He's a kid with a broken arm in It.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So tell people what in your own words, like the show.
Yeah, no, it's 3 different actors playing the same character at 3 different points in this one character's life. So at age 14, 40, and 65, he meets the girl of his dreams when his mom moves from Chicago to Los Angeles, and he gains a stepbrother who loves the Lakers, and this kid loves the Bulls. They have an immediate rivalry. He meets the girl of his dreams at school, and he goes through he thinks he's living the worst day of his life because of how that goes. Mm-hmm. And then we cut to him at age 40, where we see he thinking he's living the worst day of his life then.
Yeah.
And then we cut to him at age 65, where he thinks he's living the worst day of his life. Also, he has a heart attack. And in age 65, he meets, reconnects with the girl of his dreams from when he was 14.
Oh, wow. Shit.
Like, so it's really boyhood meets Wonder Years.
I was just going to say, it's got some boyhood in there.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like we're all, you know, everybody always looks at things in terms of like starring vehicles or whatever, right? And it was like, I didn't look at this that way when it came along. When it came along, I was just in the mood to be like, I want to play for the Patriots. I want to be the team that just comes back and from, you know, 28-3 down.
Yeah.
And it ain't even considered a comeback because you just look at the camera and go, we are the Patriots. And you knew something like this was going to happen.
Yeah,
so I'm not kept putting my the cart before the horse, but I'm saying, I'm like, it's a really awesome thing, man, when you get a chance to go to work with such talented people. And all I got to do is just eat my bagel and hit my mark and pick my daughter up after school. And that's it. Because it's like the writing's good. The stories are good. I mean, you even see the writers and it's like, these are all like heavy people. Like everybody went to like Harvard and Penn State and stuff, and it's like,
and
okay,
it's worked on like dope shows.
Yeah, exactly. Those no, you don't even get a job interview on our show if you haven't written already for, you know, Veep.
Fuck, dude. You know what though? And how many Emmys do you have?
Yeah. It is a rare thing. I mean, only in the handful of shows I've gotten to work on, I've gotten to see how dysfunctional and not patriot-esque it can be.
Oh my god!
So and to where I'm worrying about things that I shouldn't be worrying about.
Bingo.
So that's where basically when you said I eat my bagel and hit my mark, it's like you're set up to win because you know all you got to do is your job. And you're going to put all your energy into that because you're not going like, God, I wish we had more promo for the show.
Let me break this down to you. I stayed on television for 9 years of my life as a kid in one of the most memorable shows that have ever been.
I'll piggyback and say the greatest show.
You're too cool. Yep. You're too kind.
You know that.
I'm a big Seinfeld fan too, and I like
no way, dude.
And I like Breaking Bad and some other stuff too. So
love Larry. F the Seinfeld. Give me the matters.
But I never got a single billboard anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere.
Of you? Wait. Family Matters never got one?
I never had a billboard.
Or you were never on one?
I was never on a Family Matters billboard anywhere in any major city.
Shut.
We were not even a part of the network's marketing budget. Not one.
The whole run?
The whole
run. Were they just like, we don't have to because Family Matters is so big?
What happened was, again, it was a show that they didn't necessarily put a lot of resources behind to begin with.
Yeah.
It started failing.
Yeah.
Then by the time I came on the show and things changed, it starts going through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting these great ratings and everything. So again, the way a network functions, they don't give you billboards because they want to send you a thank you card. They put up billboards for the shit that they need people to start watching that they're not already watching.
Gotcha.
Right. For the new shows.
You were the billboard.
I gifted these bastards a saved show. Right. And in return, I didn't get any free billboards. I didn't get any. I get nothing.
Did you ever walk into the exec's office with like a Nielsen rating sheet and go, hey, did I do that?
Listen, man. I mean, that's where I said when you're the kid, it's very surreal to have lived it, survived it, and get a chance to live it again and share it with your kid. You know, I brought my daughter down to the set and everything.
Warner Bros., same lot where you
same
shot.
Lot.
That to me is
same
bonkers.
Everything.
You were telling me there are guys, a guy who was the set
this guy Dan who was he was you know, he built our set, now builds all the sets for the entire studio, and he's got white hair, and he was just like, one day I was just walking on a lot and he passed and he goes, Jalil, what's up? And he was like, it's good to see you back. And it's like, you never imagine that the guy who built the sets would say to you one day, it's good to see you back.
Yeah, dude.
And it's like, it just, I'm like, I'm on a big humility kick, and I've been on one for a second because it's like, you know, people don't realize, man, like, look, the equipment manager is going to be there longer than the players.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to be careful how you treat people, man, in life. And that's the only thing I'm seeing right now that I don't like tonally in our country, where I'm like, yo, I don't care what your beliefs are. It's behavior over beliefs all day.
Sure.
Careful how you treat people, man.
Yeah,
that's
man.
It. I mean, this is so surreal being back on this lot like this. But anyway, the point was, when you're a kid, you get taken advantage of. You know, every raise I should have gotten, somebody dangled Laker tickets in front of my face, and I was like, yeah, give me those.
There you go.
I get to be how close to AC Green?
Yeah.
I probably did 100 episodes before I realized, wait a minute, I get a raise too? So thank God we did 200 because I got paid.
Because you're not thinking about that kind of stuff. Because as
hell
a kid.
No, not back then. Now, like, no, these kids today are woke.
Oh, really?
Oh, no. These kids today. Oh, yeah. No. I don't know, Jack's generation, I can see it.
What, they ask him to do a somersault, and he's like, then I get stunt pay, right?
Yeah.
Also, if I write my reaction during the flip, do I get a writer's credit?
Yeah, these kids today are woke. Like, it was so funny watching the kids interact with each other when they first got on set. And they would ask each other just instinctively, like, so who are you with? I'm with UTA. God. Who are you with? Like, they sizing each other up, you know. Just
remember
casually.
What our conversations were at kids. Who's your favorite Ninja Turtle? That's what we.
Hey, what are your?
And I don't mean to
like?
Say size each other up like they were being snarky with each other. They were just like young business people in the room.
That's
like,
their life.
Yeah, who
that's
are you with?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're with Kathy. I love Kathy. Kathy's great.
That's interesting to them, right? Now, do you think? I mean, how? I'm sure there are folks, and I would hope so, go out of the way to still make sure they got like a childhood outside of that, right? Or do you think sometimes they get like that kid who's on your show? What's the name again? Jack?
Jack Razor.
And all the kids from Stranger Things and It, like, I'm sure they're on a fucking collision course to, like, everyone in the world is like, dude, we cannot stop right now because you are.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, there probably comes a point where they're like, all right, school is going to take a back burner, or it's just tutoring, but maybe 2 days a week instead of five, right? Like,
you
just
know,
to.
I think.
Or can you find the balance?
I think people have to realize that, you know, we all evolve. So the child actor story is so cliche at this point.
Yeah.
I hate even defending it. I'm like, I don't really know them fools, dog. I didn't do that shit. So his generation is even more woke.
Okay.
And, you know, Jack seems completely normal. He and Chris and Raylan, I mean, they all seem completely normal kids. They, you know, they're very social media conscious kids. You know, I will say that.
Are you asking them questions about things or no?
I'm not asking them questions, but again, what's funny is they don't, like I guess we had an appearance, and I didn't make the appearance, but it got back to me that Jack tweeted out where he was going to be. And, like, you know, 15, 14-year-old girls showed up at that appearance, and Jack was just, like, kind of a deer in headlights, and they showed up with, like, his favorite shit. Like, oh, I know you like this candy bar, and I know this is your favorite, and can you take pictures with us? And he was kind of freaked out, like, who are these girls, and how do they know so much about you? And it's like, you have like a 500,000 followers, homeboy. So when you tweet stuff,
people
the lurking begins.
Yeah, I'm gonna react. Right. Was that kind of a sobering moment for him where he kind of like saw the power that he actually has?
So I'm looking at him and I'm like, oh, he and Chris and whatever, like they're gonna, it's gonna be funny.
Mm-hmm.
I just hope that we're cool enough that like those kids can talk to me like when they slide in their first DM.
It used to like be get your first pimple. It used to be ask your first girl out on a date. Now it's slide your first DM.
I hope that Chris and I, one of the kids too, are cool enough because he and I already will vibe out a little bit. And I'm like, you know, it's like, man, you know, I slid in one and she hit me back and we went out. And it was just like, it was a random, right? Just like, from another state.
How thirsty were you?
Yeah.
How many
you just
likes?
On an appearance and did it on an immediate Dairy Queen.
We had a blizzard.
I can't imagine.
Some.
She had a blizzard and she hit that, gave you that blizzard. And she gave you that.
Oh, man.
I can't imagine that, trying to date and having a little bit of fame and then having a situation where, like, because I don't know about y'all, but I was dorky as hell when I was trying to ask girls out in high school.
Yeah, and you were short.
I can't imagine.
So
So I can't imagine like girl being able to like screenshot that and like post
your
it to her followers. Like, look what this dumbass said to me.
Hey,
that's insane to me.
Listen, it's very, very surreal because you realize that they know about more about you going into it than you will ever know about them.
Yeah.
So that's what's got to be scary even for Jack's generation. You know what I'm saying? It's
right.
Like, yeah, it's exciting to slide into some girl's DMs, whatever, get hit back because you like their pictures or whatever, but you don't know what you just slid into. You about to find out, though.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, yeah, you know what she's going to hit you up for, what friends she has.
Yeah, you don't know.
What she really looks like. Is she actually a 65-year-old guy who lives in Wisconsin?
Hilarious.
You don't know that.
Do they ask you, do they know that you're like a TV and acting vet? And do they ever do their parents give them heads up?
Their parents all gave them heads up.
And do they ask you questions? Be like, yo, like.
Absolutely not. No. They probably have zero respect for what I know on a set. And I'm totally cool with that.
Okay, that was my next question. Do you walk around being like, yo, man, I know the fucking guy who used to build the sets.
Listen, my favorite to work with is Skylar, actually, because I don't get a chance to work with all the kids. Some of the kids I just see at table reads.
Yeah. Well, because some of the kids are, you're playing in a different, different generation.
So they're in 1991. But Skylar, right. I get a chance to interact with because that's Bobby's daughter, who we do see as a grown woman in 2042.
Gotcha.
And so all of the kid scenes that I get are with Skylar. And Skylar is actually Ariel Winter on Modern Family. Yeah. Is her aunt.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
It's pedigree family. And it all runs into family. Yeah. It's real. But like Skylar is like to watch, just to even watch she doesn't really know what she's doing on the set. She's just adorable as all get out. So if you can get her to say it the way she would just say it is Skylar.
Yep.
You're just like, oh.
Home run.
Right? It's that Jeremy, it's the Jonathan Lipnicki thing Jeremy McGuire. Yeah.
You know Skylar, the human head weighs 8 pounds. Yeah. It's over.
That's Skylar, right? But like, Skylar, like, she doesn't know about continuity. If she drops a bag, picks up a drag bag, picks up an orange, eats an orange, what she doesn't know, you got to do the same thing in the next take. She doesn't know. But it was like, even last week, for the first time, she gave a line, and she was like, "Can I do that over?" And it was like, "Oh,
here it goes."
She's starting to.
Here it starts. You know,
That's so crazy that is such a big part of it. Just getting comfortable and familiar with the way shit, like, to know
animals,
that.
We're just animals, dog. Yeah. If you practice any discipline day in and day out, you may not be Kobe Bryant at the end of the day, but you're gonna get better.
Yeah.
And that's what's so fun about this is that I get a chance to watch these kids grow up and get better at their craft.
Yeah.
And like you said, man, I gotta hit my mark and eat my bagel. I mean, the writing's good so far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you even are you so focused on that you're not thinking about things like Halloween? And like coming up, like I feel like that's our next big holiday and our greatest distraction coming up from all the chaos.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
We got 10 minutes.
We good.
And then I want to piggyback on that your Halloween plans and also last time I think it was last time you were on with Guy Tori when we did Black Christmas.
Yeah, we did Black Christmas. Yeah.
Is there Black Halloween?
Black Halloween. Is there?
Is that just like everyone just goes to see Boo a Madea story?
That is hilarious. You know what? I met a girl one time. You know, I always got a story for you guys.
Yeah, you're the best.
I met a girl one time when I was like a late teen, and I thought she was so hot. And I was trying to see if we could go to the mall or something because that's just what you
did. That's what
back
you did.
You,
did.
Right? You didn't slide in any DMs. You slid into
and she was like,
the gap.
She was like, yeah. She was a black girl, though, but she was like, yeah. I said, I can't really leave the house for the next couple weeks. And I'm like, why? She's like, house arrest. And I'm like, I didn't even know what the heck that was. Yeah. I'm like, what is that? Mm-hmm. What do you mean? She was like, no big deal. She's like, no big deal. I just can't leave the house. I'm like, I have an ankle brace. And I'm like, are you serious? Like, whoa, I've never even heard of this. I'm like, how could you get such a thing? She's like, well, the cops caught us bag snatching. I'm like, what is bag snatching? And she's like, well, it's like on Halloween, like if you just, we're just joking. I mean, we were going to give the kids their bags back, but, you know, like snatch kids' bags, like if you're on, you know, trick or treating. And I'm like, I was so mortified. I mean, that's when the inner white Republican man in me came out and was just like, you disgusting bitch.
How do you look at yourself in the mirror?
You ruined kids' Halloween.
Yeah.
And you snatched their bags.
They worked so hard for those Reese's Cups.
I mean, so you say Black Halloween. I mean, that's about as black as Halloween can get to be.
Stealing bags. All right.
You know what the way be?
We were going to give them back.
It's like, that's a true story, too. I was like, I didn't call her again. I was so disgusted. I was like, that's a messed up thing to do.
But is it a cultural thing? Like, are black people more so wanting to dress? It's the same, right? Everybody likes to dress up.
If anything,
or is there? Because I've seen those videos of I think there's one famous one of a black dude trick or treating with his daughter, and then the guy is in a costume on the front porch, and he jumps up and scares him, and the guy fucking just drops.
Well,
and just knocked him out.
Well, you shouldn't really run up on a black person. Dressed jumping as a out scarecrow. Of, jumping out of bushes and stuff.
That's just natural.
The instinct is either run or strike and run, and there's no real order to that.
Right.
What's changed Halloween is the internet. So costumes now are coming from like meme places, and you know, people want to be like, even in my daughter's school, two girls dressed up as the ballerina twin emojis.
What?
So they would just hit strike the pose.
Oh,
you know
geez.
What I'm saying? They were the best. It's like nobody uses that emoji, but you know it. And you're like, oh yeah, the ballerina twin emoji. So
because we just got our costumes from like Saturday morning cartoons or whatever movies were out.
Exactly.
Or like superheroes or something.
Exactly.
Like,
so their level of creativity, again, like you said, we evolve. Their level of creativity is just on a whole nother level.
Yeah, you can get memes, you can get YouTube stars that we don't know about.
Exactly. Who was that? Ken, who was the guy during the debates? Ken something?
Oh, Ken Bone.
Yeah. People went as him for a minute.
Exactly. Yeah. Last year, he was the biggest thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously, going to get a lot. We're going to get a ton of...
Sean Spicer's probably.
We're going to lush a lot of Sean Spicer. We're going to get people literally walking around with the podium. You know, it's like, so, you know, it just, everything comes out of pop culture right now a little bit more. And I think the homespun outfit is the bigger thing.
Yeah. My tip to white people... blackface is never good.
Oh yeah, yeah, no, that's that's, and it's, you know what's so crazy
never
about
good.
That? Yo, every year we got
every
to say,
year
every year
some celebrity does it. You're like, did you not see the eight Halloweens in a row where some where some people got in trouble?
Yeah,
like,
nobody thought Glenn Close.
But you know
would
what? It's even like, but you know what? It's even, I mean, I remember even Nick Cannon did the whiteface thing though. So it was like, and that was weird.
Yeah.
So it was just, you know.
Dude, there's enough options.
Yeah.
like whiteface or blackface should be after you've done every costume.
Dog, like, come on, man.
And by the way, if you're a white kid and you want to be Mr. T, the mohawk and the chains.
Yeah, that's
enough.
Mr. T.
We know. Jean jacket,
there's only one
mohawk,
guy that
chains.
Does that.
You're good.
But again, guys, we specialize in comedy.
Yeah.
We hear it, we live it, we breathe it. A lot of people just don't know tone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the difference between.
And they think it's funny.
Offensive and funny.
Right. Yeah.
That's the difference between professionally funny and offensive.
Yeah.
Is not knowing tone.
Yeah.
So it's like, even, you know, and look, it doesn't mean, you know, just because you work in comedy, you're funny. I mean, you know, Kathy Griffin thought it'd be a good idea to chop off the head of the president. So obviously she was not in touch with tone at the time. But
you mean, you mean I can't fake murder the leader of the free world?
Right. So
can't do that.
But then she apologizes for it, and it comes back 6 months later and be like, you know, fuck that. I don't even want to apologize for it.
Wait, but what I'm trying to think back to, did you guys do a Halloween episode, right? Yeah.
Oh, like we did several
matters?
Halloween.
Yeah.
We did like, my favorite one was Steve-ville. We had a Steve Chucky episode.
Oh, I remember
Steve-ville.
Yeah, I remember.
And
that.
I fought with him and everything. It was great. It was actually it was a little person inside.
Damn right.
What?
Giving us work.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Hey, I think you got your costume.
Yeah.
And he was white, but he wore a black mask.
Right. But you know what though? It's weird. Mask, I think that's okay.
That's cool. That's
mask cool. is cool. Yeah. Blackface.
Yeah.
No.
Isn't that amazing though? Line.
Yeah.
Like, just think about the fine lines of comedy.
Yeah. Right.
Blackface.
No.
You're the worst person on earth.
Yeah.
Black mask.
Hey,
how much did that cost?
Yeah, you're good.
It's good quality.
Yeah.
It's good quality.
Dude, I haven't seen a Taraji P. Henson mask. That's really authentic. Right. Wait, so what was the, like, the family? Like, what were they doing on Halloween? I mean, normal shit. At least from my recollection, like, everybody was trick-or-treating and going out and, like.
Yeah. No, are you talking about me as a kid? When?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I lived in a great neighborhood where I could trick-or-treat. And so, you know, back in the 80s, you know, you just ran free. And you literally just went house to house and you just got tired.
Yeah,
and then, you know, I was also a Cosby era kid, and they did that famous episode where they separated the bags of candy from, you know, the houses you knew and the houses you didn't know.
Oh,
and
yeah,
we don't eat anything that's, you know, that's obviously not packaged. It's so funny because I actually remember, I always try to tell people, I hate to see race relations where they are right now, because we're only divided socioeconomically. So a good example is, like, I lived in a gated community for a very, very, very long time. And I remember when I first got my house, I was like, oh man, like, I'm gonna hand out trick or treat candy this year. So I took it a step further, and I had like, you know, had my housekeeper make cupcakes and everything. And so when the door opened, there were all these white kids that came to my door. I was like, hey kids, you want cupcakes? And they were all like, whoa, mom, this is the guy we talked about. Whoa. Right? And even the parents,
it's Cupcake Jaleel.
I could even see the parents roll their eyes, almost kind of like they came up to inspect him and look at him like, like, we really appreciate it, but next time, just buy the bags and stuff. Yeah. And
just do what you're supposed to do, man.
Just do what you're supposed to do. Right.
You went above and beyond. You made it weird.
But it's like, to me, the way my mind works in comedy, flipping the race on that, because it was really, it was like, I grew up a television personality.
Yeah.
I lived in a gated community.
Yeah, right.
I had a house and a housekeeper.
Everyone knew everyone.
Yeah, you know what? Let's make special bags with bows on it. Why don't we put secret little like gift cards inside?
Personalized.
I mean, I was going all out. And then you run into the kids that don't really appreciate it that much. And you're like, you know, next year, just get them the Nerds in the box like they asked for. You get the kids, too, that are just like, can I look in the bag? I love the future accountant. That comes to the door and he asks you and he's like in the most boring costume. He's like, do you mind if I look inside? And I'm like, yeah, sure, take a look. And he goes like this and he goes and he just throws back like one Milky Way and picks up a Snicker and he goes, thanks. Oh yeah, no,
it's strategic because he's like, dude, I've got enough Kit Kats.
Yeah, exactly.
The next house I already know is gonna have peanut butter cups, so I don't need yours.
Exactly.
Yeah. You keep yours.
Yeah.
You got two fat kids coming up. They're going to want those.
In really nice neighborhoods, it doesn't even matter where the kid is from. He knows what's available, and the strategy is in place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mentioned just the state of like things right now, and I know we're all big Hoops fans, and we're on the...
oh, yeah. It's going to be a great NBA season. Dude, oh, my gosh.
I mean, this may be the wildest summer.
The real husbands of the NBA. Oh, my God.
This is the craziest offseason because there's been off seasons where it was like, okay, LeBron's decision, but that was one guy.
Yeah, that was nothing.
Even that, it was like Sam Perkins is going to the Sonics, you know, and then to the back to the Pacers, like
Shaq's going to the Lakers, and then that's it.
Yeah,
that's
one guy.
One thing.
It was one guy. Now also, it's every 2 weeks.
But also the amount of deals that were made, but then the amount of potential deals.
Oh,
like
not even over.
The sizzle is just brewing right now. Of like, yo, everyone's like, yeah, this season's gonna be dope now because of all the moves. But then it's like next year's gonna be even crazier.
Yeah, it's gonna be crazy.
Paul George will be a free agent again. LeBron, free agent
Isaiah
again.
Isaiah Thomas, I just read, isn't even coming back till January now.
The only thing that I think it's ruined from our generation is this is not a time to be a fan of a team.
No.
Or a player.
This is like I will root for, you know, whoever is the actually, it's so funny because my daughter is this way. And she will walk into the room. Mm-hmm. She will stare at the screen for about half a second. And she will figure out, she will see the disparity in the score. And she'll say, Daddy, who's in the white? And invariably, that'll be like the team that's winning. And she'll be like, okay, we're rooting for them. This is the millennial way.
Yeah.
And I actually had a cold-blooded businessman friend of mine named D. Murphy. I'm going to put him out there. And D cracked me up. And D was like, D is such a front-runner friend of mine. And he's like, if the team is winning, he just jumps on with that team.
Wow.
And so we've made fun of him for so long.
Pats fan, and I mean, Cubs fan.
One time D actually made it make sense in the shadiest way. He was like, I'm not out there playing, Jay. Why do I have to feel like a loser? I can feel like a winner anytime I want to.
Oh, my God.
Dude, that's some Tony Robbins shit.
I'm like, that is diabolical.
Dude,
like,
that
he was like, I can feel like a winner anytime I look at sports.
Yeah.
It's like, a choose your own adventure book, but you're
there's some guy listening in Cleveland right now that's a Browns fan. It's like mind blown. Like, just like
no, you can't. It's like, no, bro, just because you were born in Cleveland, you don't have to root for the Browns.
Yeah.
You don't have to die that way.
I respect that. Right. I mean, look, you don't have to die that way. Yeah. Yeah. There's a better life for you. But there is something to be said about
like a life hack.
The agony, though, right? And like going through the ups and downs with a team.
It's a metaphor for life.
I mean, listen, I agree with that because my generation knows that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. We got to break this cycle. These future generations, they don't think that way. Right. Their attitude is, I will get on with you.
I'm a Warriors fan.
When it makes sense for me to be on with you. Now, here's where I'm different, where I had to stay woke too, where it's like, okay, you know, I like players.
Mm-hmm.
So if a player moves someplace and I like that player, I'm off. Bye. Yeah. That was my player, and you don't have him anymore, so I'm cool.
Yeah.
Like, my favorite player in the NBA right now is Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Dude, I love that you said that.
I love that dude.
Greek freak.
Right? So I got Bucks jerseys.
Yeah.
The Bucks, they know me. We text sometimes. I know these cats. I'm like, I want to see a game. I love them.
Yeah.
Don't lose Giannis.
Yeah.
Don't lose Giannis. If they trade him on SportsCenter, it'll be like, and then the Clippers get Giannis and Jaleel White's fandom.
Yeah.
Don't lose Giannis. That should be their slogan for the season,
dude,
by the way.
Dude, that's just, that's the way it is.
Yeah.
I'm like, I didn't make this rule. I'm just adapting to what's going on. But I'm like, I wish somebody would have tried to trade Magic Johnson back in the 80s when I was a kid out here to Boston.
Oh,
what?
I know.
Never.
Dude.
Like, that literally would have upended. It actually probably would have helped my life. Because I would have just come into it. I've come to realize certain things.
Yeah.
Now, we're adults, man. You know, enjoy this stuff. This is entertainment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. All these people that want to like talk about Kevin Durant's character or something like that. If anything, if you know basketball and the way the game should be played, I see why he went to that team.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, he just had better chemistry with these cats.
Yeah.
That's not even a knock on Russ. It's just that, like,
yeah,
if you go to a public gym, right? Mm-hmm. Just put it this way. You're at a public gym. You go and run like on a Friday. And you're running with a team that you thought you could win with, but you just keep losing each game, right? And the weight is like freaking three down, and you've lost three times with these. You've been here for 3 hours, and you've only played three games. After that third game, you're looking for new people to play with.
You're gonna sit out and let other guys show up.
Fill the next squad.
Find a new one.
Why should it be any different with these guys? Just because they're getting paid millions of dollars.
Right.
He's like, dude, we tried that a couple of times.
Didn't work.
I wasn't feeling the chemistry. Right? You know what I'm saying? This is no different than kissing the chick after the second date and being like, nah. Nah. I think I can do better.
What do you think about them not going to the White House?
First of all, I can't say they weren't going to the White House. They were supposed to have a team meeting about it. And I actually happen to have legitimate inside information that the team was going to have a team meeting about it. And they were going to decide internally, because there are people in the organization that actually wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
So they wanted to debate and talk it out. Well, before they could even do that, Agent Orange goes and says on Twitter, you're not invited. I'm not letting you come in my house.
He said that after Steph said, I don't know if
he didn't. Steph never said we're.
Yeah, he said
Steph said, I know how I feel about it, but we have a team meeting coming up. That's all Steph said.
And then Trump just said, well, guess what?
You're taking too long to decide. None of you can come.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is not even
how
a real deadline.
How childish and petty is that?
It's so hard.
It's like someone who finds out that a couple of friends hung out without them, and then they're like, fine, you're not invited to my birthday party.
Yeah, the organization was trying to figure out, like, look, we've got to do something. I'm sorry, guys, just because you feel this way, we're not going to break the tradition. There's got to be something we can do. So even right now, they're going to D.C. in February. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're going to take a picture outside the Capitol building or something. I don't know. They're going to go hang out at the Lincoln Memorial or whatever and all leave their Slurpees symbolically. I don't know what they're going to do. Right. I don't know. But I'm like, you know, that's what I find to be so unfortunate. It's just like all of us. It's like, I want to just send this message for anybody that hears me. Stop with the pettiness. Guys, like, you know, you got to see my Instagram post today, because I swear it's the way I feel all month.
I wanted to say that too, because you're crushing it on Instagram right now. And me, myself, and I and CBS should be pumped about how active you are. And dude, the amount of shit you post is like, dude, it's really like you're becoming one of my favorite followers.
There's a certain way I want to make people feel when they come to my page. And that's what it's all about.
Is this the guy in the hat talking?
This dude, play him, dog. That dude is hilarious, dude.
Hold on.
Well, let me tell you something. There are people that don't follow their own advice, but they want to give you advice.
Hey,
Papi, I don't need it. Papi, some people, you ask them how they're doing, they want to give you their whole life plan and what happened yesterday and what happened last month. I don't want to hear it, Papi. I just want to have a good time. Papi, let me tell you something. If you don't respect me, I still respect you. If you don't love me, I still love you. You know why? I do not entertain negativity. I just dance.
You know what?
This guy's my spirit animal.
Sound advice.
This dude.
Who is this guy?
I thought it's a random cat. I follow ratchet people on Instagram. I don't even bother following famous people. I go straight for the ratchet. Yeah, if it says hood clips,
Maja hype,
ratchet high school fights, I'm like, that's me. I'm right there, right? And
Maja hype.
Dude,
that's who it is.
This dude is hysterical. But I was like, that's the way I feel for the whole year.
Yeah, man.
Like, anytime somebody wants to start with that nonsense, I'm like, I've had men at stadiums even tap me up from behind and be like, oh, you forgot to remove your hat. You know, like for the national anthem or something like that. And it's like, you know what? Whenever that's happened to me, and it's happened to me a couple of times, it wasn't by choice that I was disrespecting the flag. I was standing up. But for this particular guy behind me, it meant even more to him that, oh, you got to remove your hat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For me, being a public figure, I just want to be chill in my area. So, especially if it was an away situation where I'm like, I'm in your town or something like that, I took my hat off.
Sure.
Now, you know, I might even play him a little bit, to be quite honest, even turn around and be like, hey, man, thanks for that reminder. He's like, because this guy is so dug into his beliefs.
Of course, dude.
He really feels like you turned around and thanked him for reminding him, right? And it's like, everybody's different. I'm a different cat. So, you know, I would never invade somebody else's personal space, even remind them of that, because I can't assume that every person that's standing for this flag is honoring our citizenship. How many pedophiles in here do we have standing for this flag? Right. How many thieves do we have?
Yeah.
People that are doing white collar crimes, blue collar crimes. How many people are doing the most heinous things in the world, but they're standing for that flag? So I'm like, if you're going to judge another human being based on whether they stood, knelt, had their hat off,
hand on heart,
yeah, hands by side,
salute.
If you're gonna say I get a chance to judge exactly who that person is by that body motion, you're an idiot. You're an idiot.
Yeah, there's so much more to life.
It's not even that there's just so much more to life. It's just that you don't know. These are the people that are not going to benefit from life the way we do,
yeah, mm-hmm,
where you get to know somebody.
You're hyper aware. You're nitpicking on things you shouldn't pick at.
You're hyper aware on things that just, that's insane. Like, I look at a crowd like that of 60,000 people, and I'm like, we've probably got a legitimate 30,000 morons in here. I hope everybody knows that.
Yeah.
I hope we get out of here safely. Yeah. It's going to be a good day. I just want to dance, baby. I just want to dance.
Yeah, dude,
Hey, Poppy. You stand, way, you kneel. Dude, it don't so matter, right, as long as we dance afterward. Okay,
you don't
Poppy
love me, I love you.
I love you, Poppy.
That's it. It's like, I respect you, you respect me.
You're so right, dude. When you go through that security checkpoint, they're checking for weapons. They're not checking for intelligence.
No.
They're like, beep, beep, sir, you look like a fucking dumbass. Can you step over here real quick? You know? We need to ask you 4x4 and tell me if this is spaghetti or Pepsi.
Dog, yeah. I went to a Raider game, and I mean, I'm so happy they're moving to Vegas, because maybe I have a chance of attending another Raider game, because I would never go back to the Bay Area again.
Whoa, really?
It's like six prisons coming together to watch a game. I mean, mm-hmm, they're letting the most drunk people in the world just wobble into this stadium. It was the Walking Dead, the drunkenness that they were allowing.
It'll be better in Vegas, you think?
Walking Dead with way better makeup.
I think Vegas just knows how to handle a crowd like that.
Yeah, yeah.
In such a way that the Walking Dead can enjoy themselves, and you know, the guys.
Well, they've handled Cher, so they know what's they know what's up. They know what's up. They've seen hell, and they've come back.
I gotta
me, myself, and I, Monday nights, dude. You're the fucking best.
I love rapping with you, Cats, man. We got to spread funny out here and less petty, man. So
you're doing it, man.
Follow me at Jaleel White. Trust me, if you follow me, I won't put up any nonsense. It'll only be jokes and laughs. Even my girl doesn't let me put up anything that's phallic. and I'm not allowed. I don't post world star stuff.
Yeah.
I don't believe
it's all positivity.
But I watch all of it. I watch
so
all of it.
So slide into those DMs.
So, you want to slide in my DM, just leave the D out of it. But, you know, be clever. You know, be clever.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks, bud. All right.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, Get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.